Welcome back, man, to another great episode of Comedians in Bed, where comedians can be comedians. I don't really know what that means, but that sounds like something you should say on a podcast. But nah, man, I got another great guest here with us today. You already know him. This is his third time on the show. He's the most frequent guest on the show. I thought about that today. That's because you already know who he is, man. Everybody, please give it up. No, you know what? I'm gonna do him a proper introduction, man. He's a very funny, talented guy. If you've seen him in Columbus, you know him as the barefoot bandit, but he's freaking hilarious and he has a deep voice like Gerald Levert, like Barry White. You already know. He didn't call your daughter 20 times and you was like, hey, who is that? Because I don't trust that little boy. But we got him on here today. Please, everybody, give it up for Murph Henderson, everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. That's the best introduction I've ever received in my life. I'm going to just have him play that. I'm going to have the DJ play that shit when I got on stage.
Better than your graduation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I don't even remember if I went to my graduation. I was a terrible student, bro.
Did you grow up in Chicago?
So I was born in Chicago. Yeah, I grew up in Columbus, man. I'm a suburban dude, like all the way through. They got that all the way out me. Yeah, so I grew up here, but yeah, my family's from the south side of Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What were you like Dublin?
Now, yeah. Well, no. So I grew up in Worthington here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like right on the line, like before there was a Lewis Center or anything, like, so like right when that all used to be country, it was like right at on the edge of Worthington is where I grew up.
Okay. Yeah, Worthington's cool. I used to live up off 161 before I
lived. I got you. Yeah, I used to live over there too. I used to live over there right off Bush Boulevard. I had my first apartment.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. Hey man, the rent was only like $6.99. I was like, I gotta take this deal.
Homie, it was giving big spaces and everything. Like, yeah, it was wild. Now it was. I will say that it was lively in the evening over there. I put it like that. But I mean, but yeah, man, you couldn't beat the prices for sure.
Hey, let me ask you, man to man. I never asked nobody this. How do you protect yourself being our height? Like, how do you protect yourself?
Because
I'll be wanting to buy a gun, but then I'll be like, dog, you little, what you gonna do with a gun? Like,
I try to say this without coming off like a try hard. Get you some classes, bro. Like, take you, and I'm not talking about like, don't go to Taekwondo, like. You're not about to kick nobody in the head in a fight. Don't do that. But like, but okay, you know, go to jiu-jitsu, right? Like, get you some basic boxing skills. You know, footwork is and recognition is a big thing. Like, realizing how not to get yourself into that shit. Realizing when somebody's trying to cut that angle on you before they even get to the other side of the room, I'm out. Like, nah, I'm not even engaging in this. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, keep the toolie on you at all times. Like, yeah. Like,
do you jump when you're in combat?
only if I have to. Only if I have only if it's absolutely necessary. Because I'm not trying to get punched out the air. Yeah, I'm not. I remember, listen, it's you. All the shit you see in the movies, you try to jump and hit somebody, one of them big niggas is gonna catch you and just carry you off like a child. I don't need that in my life at all. Nah, I've been trying to talk my way all types of shit. If you see me in a fight with a nigga, it's because like I genuinely ran out of shit to say. I couldn't say nothing to this nigga to make him stop. He just jumped on me. I tried. Nah. Mm-mm. I ain't doing that shit. Plus, I'm old, homie. Like, I got old bones. I'm not quick like that no more. I don't have it in me to be out here just a couple of niggas.
I'll be forgetting you. I'll be forgetting you older.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You don't look 20. You don't look like you're in your 40. You look like you're 27.
Because I ain't no kid. Like, that's what this shit is. Bing bong. And I ain't got no girlfriend. So I ain't got nobody aging.
Yeah. That's true. Do you ever get lonely?
I do it. Oh, yeah. All the time. All the time. I mean, I don't have a girlfriend because I'm just a player like that. I don't have a girlfriend because they keep breaking up with me. Like, I be trying to have them. I try to have a girlfriend, but they like they not with it. Like they get around me for a while, and they like, nah. Like, I gotta keep it moving. Yeah, that's nah. Funny. Real shit though. I get broken up with the same time every year, like right before Thanksgiving. Dang. Like whoever I'm with at the time, they just like, yeah, it's about that time, buddy.
But your gifts are affordable.
They are. They're child sizes. I wear yeah, like you know, like you can really get me some real, like I could get J's for like children's price. If I wore shoes in general, like I'd be out here with the wildest sneaker game.
I ain't gonna lie, I get broken up with too. The last two girls I dated with, they broke up with me.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. It may be the hype.
See, what did they say that though?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when they left, they was like, that short little nigga.
Oh yeah, when they mad, everything is wrong with you is the worst. Yeah. All the shit they thought was cute when they mad. Oh yeah, like they told me all that type of shit. Yeah, it's funny because like I very rarely date women that are shorter than me. And it's not like I like try to pick tall women. What happened?
I was about to say, is that on purpose?
No. I mean, it's just that I don't like. I'll be real. I don't remember how tall I am until somebody says something. So like, I don't. So like, I don't think of it like that. I don't think of it as the height difference at all. Like when I see a woman that I find attractive, she's just attractive. Like I don't really think like she's too tall for me. So, you know, like I don't like unless somebody is like, what you gonna do about the height difference? I'm like, what? Oh yeah, shit. Yeah, I guess I should probably think about this shit.
So you at the bar like, so
Yeah, like I really like. Look, man, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? You know, Amazon about to scare me off. Get out of here, nah, man. Like,
I've never been with a tall girl. I would love that experience, that thrill. I would love that.
You know what I will tell you? It's weird because once you get to a certain height as a woman, I find like because you can be a certain height as a woman where every dude is shorter.
Yeah.
Right, like you know, you see volleyball players, basketball players, like it's gonna be unless they date another basketball player, they're not gonna find a dude that's all. They lonely too. I remember the first time an extra tall girl told me that she was like nobody approaches us because like they're intimidated. Mm. You know, like they don't, you know, because you gotta understand, like if you're not used to being short, that shit bothers you. Like, I have taller comics ask me all the fucking time, like, how the fuck do you have this amount of confidence in that fucking height?
You have
like,
to.
They get mad on stage.
You have to.
You know, and I'm like, I've been like this the whole time. Like, when other comics think about that shit, they're like, it's a nightmare to them. Right? Like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't, you know, I'm like, it only matters to them when it matters to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, what I would say is shoot your shot at these tall girls, man. Like, they lonely out here. It's lonely up there.
Yeah, I'm going to go for all of them now. I'm going to go for all of them. I'm going to be at the basketball court at the gym. Like, what's up? What's good? I know you need somebody.
Listen, you know ain't nobody going to WNBA games. You should probably say right in the front. Shoot your shot and whisper it as she's running by you. Right. Yeah,
I think that's, now that you say that, I think that's why short people intimidate people, because like tall people, like since you're tall, like people expect you to be confident, have high self-esteem, and when you don't, and then you meet somebody that's short and they do, it's like, dang, like how, you know what I'm saying? So they kind of intimidated. Like, I never thought of it before.
yeah, they get real strange about it. And it's like, on one hand, I've heard people say, like, I remember I saw a post online one time saying, like, Kevin Hart wouldn't be as successful as he was if he was regular height. And that was, like, the first time I had ever seen somebody take that far where it was like, yo, that's an advantage. Being a, you know, if you're going to be a comedian, you should be, like, 5'3". I've never heard nobody say that shit in my life. And now they up here like, yo, the only reason he's getting the success is because he's a short. Like, stop it, man. Like, it don't work like that.
What else was I going to do? What else was I going to do with my life?
Right. Right. That's the thing. Is like, when I see extra tall people, that makes me more concerned. I'm like, when you see a dude who's 6'8", but he's slew footed, and you know he don't play ball. You know what I'm saying? You like, damn, what you gonna do? Like, you gonna sell insurance at 6'8", homie? Like, you can't buy off the rack.
I live life stress free. Nobody's. I think I wrote this down like as a joke. Like, I have no worries because nobody's coming up and asking me like, why didn't you go to the league? Like, I'm going. I don't know. Nobody's asking me that on a daily basis. Like, so yeah. I'm great. I'm good.
Yeah. Nobody has ever just come up to me and asked me if I play ball randomly. Never. No. Yeah. Nah. And imagine having to say no all the time. Like, you looking. You 6'9" going to your regular ass job.
And you know women forget, so they be like, you play ball, didn't you?
No. Right. Big as hell. Can't catch for shit. Oh my Lord. I would hate that shit. I would much prefer this side of the spectrum. Thank you. Yeah,
nigga, I'll be dunking them every day. I'll be like, shoo, shoo, boom, be like, what's up? I ain't making to the league, tall ass nigga. Nothing,
mother- Oh my God, you know, he'd be disappointing the shit out of niggas when he has to show up to the court. When he has to, oh my God, as soon as this nigga walk in, everybody like, yo, that's up. Niggas that played with him before be like, nah, you don't want that nigga, just mad. Nigga missing dunks and rebounds and shit. Yeah, dog.
Oh my gosh, bro. That's funny, man. That's funny. Yeah, I love being short, man. Yeah. I tell people, my motto is take a real man to be a short man.
Bro, it's funny because it does force you to confront yourself earlier in life.
Oh yeah.
Like, it does. Like it forces you to be realistic with yourself early in life and be like, okay, what do I actually have to work with?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's part of, I think everybody's on their journey, no matter what height you are, right? It's like, you know, being realistic with yourself, being honest with yourself. But I feel like when you have what is perceived to be an impediment, then it forces you to look at yourself in a certain way. Now, I will also say, especially for, you know, any of the other short kings out there, like, that shit is not a fucking impediment. Like, I told you, I don't think about that shit like that at all. Until somebody says something, like, I don't even remember the shit. So, like, what I would say is, like, just women love it when you're being yourself, period.
Yeah.
At whatever size and shape you are. If this is how you are and you're, like, confident in that shit, like,
Yeah, it is a turn off for them. But I will say this, on dates, I do wear certain shoes.
Deceit.
I'm working on it. I was like, man, listen, if I really like a girl, I really want her, I'm wearing Tim's. I'm wearing Tim's. I don't care. I'm wearing Tim's. If I'm just like, if it's like I'm questionable and I really kind of don't want to be here in the first place, then I'm wearing Air Maxes. You know, but if I just want to smash, I'm just wearing slides. I'm just pulling up in slides. Like,
you know what? That's the thing. You always see me in the slides. And I tell you what. One, I used to rock Tim's all the time. Right? and I need you to know.
just see you every day. Just come like, dog, it's 80 degrees outside. Really? I don't even know.
Yeah, but Tim's all the time. You got so, but every time I had to step down out the motherfuckers to bed with a girl.
Oh my god.
Every time, man. I had to dismount these goddamn Tims.
I'll be I thought about doing that on stage, like actually getting out of my shit so people could see the difference. Like it really is a dip. Like it's a big dip, bro. It's a big dip. Like no matter what shoes I'm in, it's a big dip. And I'm like, bro, what? I'm wearing bands.
See, and that's what I'm saying. I was tired of that shit. I was tired of it. I'm like, man, listen, I want to be the height I am all the goddamn time. I want to have to explain shit later on. What the fuck? You have to get into an explanation. You in the middle of kissing on some girl. Now she got questions.
But that's actually a good point. Because if somebody haven't seen me in a long time and I'm wearing a certain shoe, they'll be like, did you get taller? And I'm like, bro, I'm in my 30s. I'm not growing no more. What? They're like, come on, bro.
Yeah,
like, come
I'm too old to be explaining myself, man. I'm not doing that shit no more.
Man, that's hilarious, man. That's funny. And that's why we had you on the show, man, because you're freaking hilarious, man. And like I've just seen the growth, and I've seen you go from just a very long, drawn-out storyteller to now you just wham, 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 wham. How did you make that transition into your comedic journey so early on?
You, brother. I'm dead ass. Nah, for real. Nah, because look. And for those of you who have not actually met Ty, you guys are missing out. And this is what I mean by that. One, you're a tremendous comedian. But two, you have been one of the most constructive comics that I've met. Right? And when you give me feedback, it's not just like, yo, keep working. It's like, yo, Take a look at this particular aspect of your game and figure out what you can tweak about it. You were one of the first people that came up to me and was like, yo, you gotta go faster. You take it too long. You're going too slow. Like you got something, but you're going too slow. And because of the fact that I knew that it was coming from a good place when you said it, I knew it was like for real game that you were giving me. So it was like, all right, let's figure out how to do it. So each open mic, it was like, okay, how do I? Well, first I started trying to cut all the extra lines out of jokes, right? So you'll hear a lot of comics say this, that you should write all of your jokes down line for line. And that helps you figure out what you don't need, right? So that's the first thing I did, is you start taking out all the fat. But the second thing I did was not memorizing them or not reading from them, so that just by nature I would say the shortest version of it. And the stuff that I would forget, as long as it wasn't important for the punchline, I could just take it out. I could just leave it out. So I'll go back and listen to stuff. And when you realize, like, oh, I forgot to say this, I forgot to say that. But if the joke still works, now you gotta ask, do I even need that part? You know? Third thing is, I started just writing shorter jokes. You know, I think a lot of comics start out telling stories because, you know, that's what you draw from. And I think a lot of people who get on stage even immediately think that their stories are going to be funny. Like they try to think of the funniest story they know and tell that story.
Yeah.
Right? Where I think the real challenge is to figure out what is funny out of the real important things in your life. Right? So like every day I keep a diary and I write down what I hate right now, what I love right now, and what I'm fascinated by right now. Right? So it's like none of those things need to be inherently funny. Right, I'm not thinking of like what's a good thing that what's a funny thing that I feel good about right now or a funny thing that I hate. It's what do you feel strongly about? Because to me, I mean, I can't say this for everybody, but to me, it's easier to write jokes about topics that I feel strongly about or that I have an emotional connection to in one way or another. So, I mean, they got shorter, luckily. But you know, the long-winded answer about short-winded jokes is that it was you. You were the first person to tell me to look at it.
When do you decipher, okay, this joke does need to be long and this joke needs to be short? Because that's something I'm kind of dealing with now. Like, that's something I'm dealing with now.
Well, I think it depends on what you're going to do with it, right? So, for example, jokes that have a lot of callbacks in them, that makes sense that it would end up being longer, right? Because you need to set up that callback in order to bring it back, right? Or, but sometimes I would say jokes end up being longer just because you tag them up a lot, right? So they might have started out as short jokes and just gotten longer and longer because you tag them up. But also, I find that telling a longer joke, it's kind of like a song, right? Where most of the songs we listen to, you know, they have the same refrains, right? But they change throughout the song, and that's what keeps us interested, right? Like there's different parts of the song. That's why you have favorite parts of the song. To me, a longer joke, you should have favorite parts of the joke. So if it's going to be a longer joke, there should be parts of that joke that you can pick out and be like, that's my favorite part. You know, even though it might have multiple parts. You know, one of the things that I really am grateful about, especially in this scene, is that we got a lot of mics. So when I first started, you know, what you call taking class, I was just sitting up front at every mic, listening to every comic, right? So you start to think of it as an audience member, right? So I would say as a comic, always continue to still be a comedy fan, be an audience member, right? Think of it as somebody who's listening to you. And if that's the case, and you're like, yo, you'll feel where it's supposed to be longer. Now, obviously, I am by no means an expert, but I am a long-winded ass nigga, so I know a little bit about that.
I was going to ask you, like, off stage, like when you like with family or friends, do you talk a lot or do you not talk a lot?
I do talk a lot probably around friends. I've always been a talkative guy around the right people. You know, I could, especially if it's a topic that I'm interested in, like comedy, you know. So like I can definitely talk at length about certain things, but I from time to time, if you don't know me, I do come off as a stone faced ass nigga. So it depends.
I had asked because I was wondering, like, with people who tell stories, like, I wonder if it was a correlation because they don't talk a lot off stage. Because there's times where I can talk, but for the most part, like when I'm off stage, like unless I like know you, I really don't. Like, I can go like 4 days. I can go like days without talking. Like, even when I'm like by myself. So yeah.
See, you know what? That's a huge difference between the two of us. Cause one, I remember when I first met you, it was when Trunken Head was still open. I first started going, and I didn't know that was your deal. Is you coming with the headphones on? You ain't really saying nothing to nobody. Right, I didn't even know you were a comic until I saw you go up. Then I see you at a couple mics, and each time, you know, I'm giving you the customary black man head nod, but we ain't really talking. Like the fourth or fifth mic that I see you at, you walk by, you give me the nod, and then you take your AirPods out, and you're like, "Oh shit, are you a comic?" I thought you was just showing up at different mics to drink. I was like, yeah, and then like from then on, like even then, you still like you know, like you dap me up when you see, but like you would say to like it takes you a while. I realize like to figure out if you even want to say something. But also I didn't realize, especially at mics, you do want that time to just center yourself, right?
Yeah,
because it is. I mean, it is also a hangout environment. So, like, you can get drawn into being more social than being in your game.
Yeah.
Right. So I understand wanting that concentration, you know, and now, you know, I do that shit sometimes. I show up at mics and go say shit to nobody. I'm not avoiding nobody. I just, you know.
Yeah.
I get it, man.
I know. I like that because I think, well, I didn't notice until like this year, like when I get at mics, since I'm in the atmosphere, even if it's like a bar, like I'm in a creative space. And so I just start thinking of things to do, like either for the podcast or jokes or things like that. And so that's mainly what I'm in my phone, like doing, or I may like look over a tag that I've already looked over like 20 times. I'd be like, nah, I need to say this. You know what I'm saying? Like just working, you know? And I think early on people, if they don't know you, they could take it the wrong way. And it's like, I'm so thinking about something else right now, you know, like instead of like, you know, how I came across, you know? And I think early on, like comics need to like realize that, because it's like, it's not personal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just really like, your head is like somewhere else. And I even have to remember that too. Like in the city, I remember that because I see everybody like all the time. But when I go out the city, I'll be like, oh, I don't know this person. Like, I can't take how they like personal. I don't know them, you know? So.
Yeah, no, you know what? I learned that. I had to learn that the hard way about headliners. The first headliner that I ever opened for, I'll tell you who it is off the podcast. he's in the green room, and like I'm thinking I can just meet him because it's a small club. I'm thinking like I'm gonna just introduce myself. Hey, I'm a big fan, and dude like just completely like he doesn't even see me. Now at the time I was tight about it, at least for like, you know, the first like 30 minutes. But then when I saw how many other comics were showing up at the club and how surrounded he was getting, I realized like when you are a headliner, when you are a recognizable comic, that's part of what you have to fight through, is how many comics are going to want, or how many people in general are going to want your time. And if you're there to perform, you can't give everybody your time. You can't give everybody your attention. You know, and sometimes you might even have to be rude about it, because it's like, yo, in a second, I'm about to get bombarded. In a second, like, I'm going to be surrounded. I won't be able to think. I won't be able to write anything down, get anything together. So I respect it. That, like, now I'm like, okay, I'm not, unless I am invited to come say something to a headliner, unless they come up to me, like, I'm not even going to give it a shout out and say
it. Yeah, yeah. No, I'll still be learning that in clubs too. I'll just be like, when I be like on certain shows, like Don't Tell, or if I be at clubs now, I'll just be like, okay, I'm just gonna sit back and I'm just nod my head. Just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you just want to be like professional. Like, I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. Like, even though we're in a small scene, like, you never know who's might gonna be, and like those interactions, those first impressions, like, you do have to be cautious of that. Even for me, I'd be like, okay, now I have to be more cautious, because just how, like, I didn't know you were a comic at first. Like, now, even now, like, comics come up to me and they be like, they be saying my name, and I'd be like, bro, I have no idea who you are.
I don't know who you are.
But I just be having to be like, oh, yeah, what's up? Because I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know who this person going to be, and you don't want to come off rude. And then now, 20 years from now, when you asking for work, or they done blown up, or just got their thing in motion, now they don't want to work with you because you were rude or unprofessional or whatever, you know. So I try to keep
I will definitely find, I definitely remember who was rude the first time I met him. But you know what, it works the other way too with bigger comics. What I mean is, when I first started hosting, I'd have a lot of, like, I know who they are now, but they were well-known comics that were coming to the mic, but I didn't know who they were. So when they're introducing themselves to me, I'm thinking they're just comics there to sign up for the mic, which they are, but I didn't know what the rules were for well-known comics at mics at certain venues, right? So I was lucky that I didn't play any of them soft. Like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't rude to any of them at all, but it would have been really easy if nobody had pulled my coat and been like, hey, you know who that is? It would have been really easy if I was feeling myself to be like, hey, man, like, get the back of line, whatever. You know, it teaches you to your point, it teaches you be respectful to everybody, even if you don't know who they are. You know, things can change in a minute, especially in Columbus, man. There are a number of comics in Columbus that are doing really big things, and they're actually like they're good hangs, they're good people to be around, but not everybody, right? So it's you got to learn how to be with people to be a comic, I think.
And I think that's I think that is such the key. I think I think you can understand this because you're a comic and you're black, but like people think just because we're a comic, we need to be friends. And it's like, we're just here together. If we weren't doing comedy, we wouldn't know each other. But it's like, I think it just comes with a certain level of maturity. It's like, okay, this person doesn't necessarily want to get to know me like that, but as long as they're respectful and, you know, they say, hey, or whatever, and they go about that and they don't start no stuff, like, that's cool. Like, I think some people take offense when somebody don't want to have or is not interested in having a relationship with them. And it's nothing personal. Yeah. It's just like, maybe our personalities don't mesh or whatever. But as long as like, I'm not going to bash your name, I'm going to always bring you up. As long as I think you're funny or I think you'd be a good fit for the show. But like, I think sometimes people be like pressed to be like friends, but it's like, we don't have to be friends. Just like be yourself. And if you're a good comic and you're cool, like I will always bring your name up. But like, some people be pressed. Like, it's just like, okay, let's just relax. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I get that though. I get like not understanding the balance of that. Cause I mean, I'm still learning it. Right. Like, and I think people always are still learning it, but there's a thick skin that you have to develop sort of in general to be a comic. There's a lot of things that you have to learn to not take personally really early. You know, like, where you are on the list, right? Like that's a real small thing that you got to realize that it's not personal, right? I've seen people get extra mad. Like, I've seen mad hosts getting pressed. Like, why am I always late? And like, why am I always last on the list? And I'm like, bro, like, not only is this not personal, but the list changes throughout the night. Like, people don't show up. Other people do show up. Like, people go long. You know, it's you gotta learn that it's a business, you know. And what you're talking about not having to be friends with everybody, like, yeah, you gotta develop thick skin. Not everybody's gonna want to be friends with you, like, and that's okay. You know, you gotta understand that's not why you're here.
Yeah, the list. Oh man, people be coming up to me like, "How you be getting up early on the list?" I'll be like, "Bruh." I just ask. I put in time and I'm nice to people. Like, that's all, like,
that's all. Yeah, that's all you can do. And
I will say the real reason I be on the list early is because I had to. I don't anymore, but back then, like when we first got back from COVID, I used to have to like go into work all the time, and I had to get up at like 4 a.m. So I would just tell them, like, "Hey, I got to get up early." So I think that's I like the comics and the hosts and the producers that are adjustable, not just, okay, you're a comic, you have to do it this way. And it's like, it's okay to like bend for people, like, you know, as long as they're good, they're not abusing, you know, the power that you're, you know, whatever favor you're giving them or whatever. But like, I only got that because I asked, and I was like, hey, I got this to do, like, and I so appreciate that, because I be seeing moms come and like, people, I know there's dudes out there that got husbands and families, they like, they could be at the crib right now, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to those hosts that do that. That's really nice and dope.
Yeah, I mean, it's I would say that one of the things I learned from a number of hosts, like ones I can definitely name, Xavier Dunson, Ty Moore, right? They are both legit comics, but also they put the time into hosting. They put the time into maintaining the scene, right? Because there's a certain duty that comes with being a sort of a tentpole in a comedy scene, I'm finding, right? Because if you aren't going to take your hosting job seriously, there's a whole bunch of people that aren't going to get an opportunity tonight. Right. If you're just slacking, like if you are, you know, moving too many people around the list, or if you're promising people things that you can't deliver or whatever else, like now that ruins the whole scene. And if we didn't have such good hosts on this scene, I don't think we'd have as many mics as we do, because people wouldn't want to come.
Yeah. What have you learned about yourself as a comic from hosting?
That I'm quicker than I thought. Like, I thought I would only be able to make, I thought I would only be able to have success on stage with jokes that I had written. I was afraid of, like, what would happen on the fly, right? And it wasn't like I didn't think I could do it. It's just I had very little practice with it, you know? But hosting, you kind of, you're forced to do crowd work. So, you know, that, I know there are some comments that are like, they don't really do crowd work. Like, when I host, you have to. And it makes you at ease with the audience a lot more. And I think it also taught me to read an audience a little bit more. You know, it changed the way that I approach shows. Like, I show up earlier for shows now just so I can be in the audience and just sort of feel what's going on, right? And if it's a small enough venue, it even gives me a chance to meet the people so that I can have that sort of familiar approach to being on stage.
Yeah, I like to do that too. Get a vibe for it. My headphones be in, but I just turn it, because I be having my music going, but I turn it low enough that I can at least hear if they're laughing or not. And I'll pay attention to who's laughing. And then that's what I'm usually like, all right, this is what I'm going to say when I go up there. I'm going to talk about her or this or situation that just happened. Or if the comment that was before me, if they say something funny, then I'll piggyback off them. Or if I know I'm good enough, then I'll make a joke about that comment.
Yeah.
Which I like doing. I did that with Alex. Was you there that night?
Which Alex? Dutton?
Alex and Ahangwa. I think.
Alex and Yamahanga.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Alex.
Yeah, man. That's my guy. Yeah. What has, like, you see the growth from comics when you host? Are you going to take that next step now into like, have like your own show now? Cause you do get to see people and you could be like, oh, I like this one. I like what you're doing with this one. Like blah, blah, blah. Or do you just be sitting back and you just get your reps in?
Nah, I would love to take the next step and produce my own show. I will tell you that I am wildly disorganized and unreliable. So that's why I haven't done it yet, is because I didn't want to put anybody in a spot where I let them down. But to your point, yes, I've heard a number of comics really develop just coming to my mic. Alex is one of them, right? And I would say this to Alex, when I first met Alex, I didn't even understand what the fuck he was saying, like, let alone whether or not the shit was funny, right? But I've seen him come back enough now where he tells a joke that I know he worked on, like, and he gets a laugh. Like, I know he meant to do that. Like, he got that laugh on purpose. And when you see comics get better and better, yeah, you do want to support them. You do want to give them opportunities. You know, you do want to put together a showcase or a venue to showcase them. So, yeah, I think probably this coming year, I'll probably take the plunge. I know I need a producing partner to keep me on top of things. I'll reach out to, like, one of the very talented producers we have in the scene and see if maybe they can give me a hand.
Yeah, I think that'll be dope. I think that'll be sweet. Sure. You're about to say, yeah, you and Xavier are like the only two black hosts that we, well, no, there's other more in the hood comics, my fault. So there's more. I'll be forgetting. Yeah. I'll be forgetting.
Which.
But there's several. There's several black hosts. How, I never thought about asking somebody this, since you are black, but the area that you in is kind of white. Well, it ain't kind of white, it's all the way white. Has that been a challenge for
That's
you?
That's what makes it safe, Ty.
Has that been a challenge for you?
You mean like doing comedy in those spaces?
Yeah.
No. And I'll tell you why. I don't write jokes for a particular audience of people. So I'm not, I think probably you and I have discussed this just like in regular conversation. Like I'm naturally a nervous dude in general, right? I naturally have pretty high anxiety. I naturally feel like people are always looking at me. So if I get up on stage in front of a bunch of white people, I thought they were staring at me before I got on stage. You know what I'm saying? So like when I'm up there, I'm not concerned about what they're going to think. I'm relieved that my paranoias are true. That type of thing doesn't bother me, and it also doesn't bother me to be in hood rooms, right? Like I don't black it up when I do shows in the hood. You know, I don't feel like I need to adjust the way that I am. As a matter of fact, when I do hood shows, I usually play up the Murph voice a little bit more, and I told all my jokes like a newscaster.
I'll be super nervous on stage. I'm rarely comfortable on there up there.
Really?
I just look comfortable. I'm
you really do.
I've anxiety through the wall. Especially if I'm not looking at, especially if I'm not looking at nobody, I'm just looking at it's rare that I go up there and I'm, it's definitely rare that I go up there and I'm calm. Nah, I'm nervous throughout pretty much throughout the whole thing. Like
that's because you're cool in real life. That's why. Like yeah. I'm the exact opposite. I'm not cool in real life at all. I gotta understand why it would make you nervous because you, but I will also say like. One, nobody could tell that you're nervous, so you're definitely pulling it off. But two, you know, you're a lot more, I'm sure when you watch your own recordings, you're a lot more natural than probably you think you're being in the moment, right? Like, I would imagine when you watch stuff back and you feel like, oh, you know, I was really nervous when I was telling this one. When you watch yourself, does it look nervous to you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Really? Tell. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, that's why that. I mean, I just put it out because I'll be like, fuck it. Ain't like I got a million followers. So I'll be like, just put it out. I don't care. But yeah, I'll be looking at this and I'll be like, dang, they're going to be able to tell that I was nervous right there. But I just put it out. I mean, I figure eventually I get to the point where I'm not nervous and they'll be able to see the growth or recognize it. If not, at least I will. So, but yeah, I'd definitely be nervous. Or I'd be like, maybe I wasn't loud enough. That's the next question I was going to ask you. Like, with you having a deep voice, I have a deep voice and I kind of talk fast. And then when I'll be up there and I'll be nervous, I'll be like, I start stuttering and stuff and stumble over words and all that bull crap. And I'll be like, freaked and my anxiety is going up because I'm like, dang, now people notice I stumbled over this word and now this joke is messed up. It's not, they're not going to laugh. I want them to laugh. Like, it's a whole problem. Like, Well, what I wanted to ask you was like, do you pay attention to your voice, like how you're up there, like the tone of it? Because sometimes I think people can't understand, like literally what I'm saying. It just sounds like mumble because my voice is so deep.
Yeah. So part of it is like, it definitely going to depend on the sound system, right? Because like when I'm up there, like, my voice is deep, but it's also like naturally loud. So I'm always thinking that I'm louder than I'm supposed to be anyway. So sometimes I get confused about whether or not, like, if I'm talking into the mic, like, if I talk regular, can they hear it, or do I have to like project? And then if you project, it's too loud. Now they're out of the joke also. So, and it's funny you should say that. I grew up with a stutter. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I definitely had one. Right? I used to talk very fast also.
Yeah.
Right. So. Being up on stage and being conscious of your tone is partly why I ended up talking so slow at first. Because I was concentrated on the delivery so that I didn't stumble over everything. Right? And it just forced me to talk slower. But once I got more confident on stage, it was like, okay, I can speed up to my natural cadence. But I will say, yeah. If I'm in a small enough venue, I just ask. Y'all hear me, right? But if it's one of those things where I'm worried about whether or not I'm loud enough. I usually just talk at a low enough tone until somebody tells me to like to talk louder.
Yeah. I think what be messing me up is because like when I be going to church, I be hearing pastors be like, turn my monitors up, and I'll be like, I don't, why are they saying this? That's kind of annoying. Stop. But now that I'm up there, I get it, because like if I can't hear myself, I don't feel loud.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can hear me, but I can't. It sounds like I'm not saying anything. You know what I'm saying? So that'd be really throw me off. Like if the monitors on the stage that are facing us are not on or loud enough, it makes me feel like nobody can hear me.
Yeah, no, that definitely, especially with comedians, because you know some comics are just not loud, right? Yeah. They're just some comics, their delivery, and not only that, but your style to me benefits from a laid back delivery, right? If you were more animated or higher pitched, a lot of the stuff you say might not work the same way.
Yeah,
you know, so like it. Knowing, I mean, yeah, you can have a preference. Okay, yeah, I want to deliver it like this, but you know, you can get put out of your game by having to, yeah, like, you know, if you're a comic, like, I don't know what you would do if there were no mics. I remember I had to do a couple joints with no mics, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm loud, because I don't know what time would do up here.
Man, that's how I felt last night at Fours. I was like, bro, this volume is low.
That's happened to me a couple times there.
Yeah, but no, I'm liking it though, because it's, I mean, you know, the mic style like that, it's stuff you didn't really think you have to think about as a comic. Like, am I loud enough? Can they understand what I'm saying? You know, I love it though. I love it. How long have you been at it now? Like a year and a half?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just hitting my year and a half right now.
That's what's up. What have you learned about yourself since doing comedy? I know I asked you since doing the host, but like from when you started where you are now.
Yeah, it's a different question for sure. I've learned one, you gotta kill your darlings. Like you might have a joke that you're like, oh, this is gonna kill them. And if a joke doesn't work, sometimes you just got to accept that it doesn't work. Or it just doesn't work right now. You got to give it up. You got to take it off the set list. You got to just be like, all right, I'm not. It learns you to let, it teaches you to let go of your ego a little bit. That's one of the things I've learned. You know, I've also learned to be a lot more disciplined. Because I wasn't setting aside writing time or writing requirements for myself. Right? And not everybody can do that or should do that, right? But one of the things I learned is that since I'm not naturally like that, I have to discipline myself. Otherwise, like, I'm not going to write new jokes. So, and then I think probably I learned that I'm the least nervous when I'm on stage. Like, that's when I feel the most comfortable. That's when, you know, we were talking about it earlier. Like I'm not cool off stage. Like I'm just not. But once I step on there, like I realize that's actually like it's a safe place for me. You know, whether people think I'm good at it or not, you know, it's not the laughs that make me feel comfortable. It's just the being up there.
Forgive me if I haven't seen it, but will you ever do comedy with shoes on?
I have a couple of times. I do prefer not to. Absolutely. If I get asked to put shoes on, like sometimes I go to certain clubs and they're like, all right, come on, yeah, put shoes on. But also what I do when they tell me that is I go up there with shoes on, but I'll take them off when I'm up there. And then just put them back on to walk back down.
That's funny. That is hilarious. As we start to wrap this thing up here, man, I've asked you who's on your Mount Comedy or Rushmore. So never mind. What? I'll ask you, what's your favorite comedy special? That's something I don't ask nobody. I've never asked somebody that. What's your favorite comedy special?
Dave Chappelle, Killing Him Softly. followed very controversially by Bill Cosby himself. Before Bill was the goddamn worst, I saw him do the whole special sitting down, and like, I'd never seen anybody do that before. I'd never seen somebody just hold the whole crowd and never even get out of his seat. I mean, you know, a couple times, but like, that and Dave Chappelle killing softly, like that. Because I've been watching Dave Chappelle for a long time. Like, and it's funny because we were talking about voices. That was when Dave Chappelle's voice started to change. Because if you watch him earlier, like in Just for Laughs days, like in the 90s, he had a much higher voice. He talked a lot faster. Right? But after years, Killing Him Softly was when you first started to hear that sort of raspiness come into his voice. And his delivery changed. And his jokes were even different. Right? Like he wasn't, I mean, he was a different comic, not like completely a different person, but like he sort of developed into his own. And I really like when I see a special where you can see somebody at like the pinnacle of their craft. Like this is their exact flavor. And like you can see when they found it. To me, that's what Killing Him Softly is.
What's any words of encouragement that you can give to a comedian that's listening to this right now?
I would say first thing is you are own. You know what? This is the best advice somebody gave me. There's a comic and a very talented filmmaker and photographer on the scene named Jason Cokes. Goes by Jay Cokes. And one of the first things he ever told me at a mic was, you don't come to open mics to be funny. You go to open mics to get funny. So I would say all of the comics that are first starting or they need, you know, a little bit of encouragement, the not being funny is the work. The getting all the bad jokes out of your system is the work, right? You got to go back and see why this joke didn't work. You got to be honest with yourself about why the joke didn't work. And I've seen plenty of comics, and I'm sure you have too, that when they first started, I didn't think they were funny. But now, you know, I laugh out loud at a lot of the stuff they say. And it's because they took the time to do it. And if you take the time to do it, you can find your own style. You can find your own flavor. You know?
Message!
Murph, tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed.
One, because Ty Erskine is one of the best hosts doing it right now. For real. I've been on your podcast 3 different times. This is my 3rd time. Like, I have a blast every time. Also, really insightful comedians on your podcast. You've had a bunch of people that I was really surprised to see, right? And a lot of it, you know, some of it are comedy journeymen. A lot of it, like, you're giving out free game about comedy, right? You are really getting into the nitty-gritty of how it works and the minutia of what it's like to be a comic, and there's very few places that you can get that anywhere else.
My nigga used the word minutia.
I'm sorry, my fancy school came out a little bit. I apologize.
Getting fancy. It's like, watch, I'm gonna drop this word on you, bitch. Boom, minutia. I like dropping big words on hood girls because they have no idea what you're talking about. Like they have no idea, and they're just so mesmerized. They're just so mesmerized. I love it. That's how I be. My game be mental. Like I mess with your head. That's how I get. That's how I get girls. I get girls with my vocabulary. Like
you woke up the girl whispering in the ear, mammalian,
and that's what happens. When you're short, you got to find other ways to get it done.
Yo, that's real. That's really real. Yeah.
Murph, tell people where they can find you at.
So I'm on social at Henderson Murph. That's all my socials, Henderson Murph. You can find me on Instagram. I'm going to be hosting every Thursday night. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm hosting. It's going to be at the Saber Pint Comedy Open Mic. I'm also doing a show on New Year's Eve. And I'm going to be putting that, the flyer and all of the information to contact the tickets on my social as well. So, it's going to be a good end of the month.
If you want to catch next week's episode, be sure to Catch our live episode every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on my YouTube channel at TYE Comedy. But if you want to see weekly clips of this episode, you can also follow us on Instagram at Comedians in Bed Podcast. Be sure to listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can, I don't throw out my social. My mom told me not to do that, so I'm not do that. I want to thank my man, once again, Murph, for coming on to the show today, man. Murph,
thank you,
greatly appreciate it, man. We'll see you guys next week.